prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason coexist. I am Dave, and with me, as usual, is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
I'm glad to be here today. You're going to have to excuse my voice. I'm losing my voice.
Don't try so hard.
Or rather, I lost my voice, and it's on the rebound.
Doesn't sound like it.
I'm looking for it. My voice has got to be around here somewhere.
It actually does sound a lot better than it was the other day.
So. Man, yeah, yesterday we actually had to delay the recording a day. But you know what? We're going to do this. And we're not going to complain about it. I'm not going to complain about it other than right now.
But it was funny because you sounded like you were like in the midst of between your preteens and your teen years.
I haven't completed that process.
We are continuing the conversation that we had from last week.
Yes.
Basically, the article was on...
Why Christianity is Dumb.
Yeah.
It's from the Sisyphus Fragment blog.
Why is it dumb?
And why he doesn't accept Christianity. He gave a whole bunch of reasons. We got through some of them. We didn't get through all of them. So today we're going to try to finish that or get through more of them at least.
Right.
So we're also going to answer Bible contradiction, and we're going to answer a listener question. So we're going to fit all that into half of an hour. Thanks for listening. If you're on podcast, you already know our website, truthrevolution.tv. If you listen on radio or on TV, get over to truthrevolution.tv, or if you're watching on YouTube Live, truthrevolution.tv is our site. There you can donate, which is hugely important to make sure this thing goes.
Yes.
Donations make sure that this keeps getting disseminated. It keeps going out to the people who need to hear it. It can't fix my voice, but it can fix a lot of other problems that we run into.
And you know, and above all else, hey man, get out to Revolution Church.
That's right. 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock every Sunday morning. And we would just love to have you there. You know, we're not interested in you gotta wear suits.
I have none in my closet.
The other day we had a friend who was coming to the church, and they had on sweatpants, and like, you know, all I had clean today was sweatpants, and I figured, you know what, for Revolution Church, that's okay.
Good enough.
So it doesn't matter. They said they saw someone else wearing sweatpants, so they came too.
It started a trend, evidently.
Yeah, that's just why I'm glad I'm part of our church, because people come, sweatpants or t-shirts or shorts, it doesn't matter. We're interested in learning about God, not judging our clothes.
Right, and you know, whatever you wear does not necessarily hinder your thought process.
Or unless you're wearing something really scratchy.
Right.
Okay.
Or restricting.
Let's get to the objections from atheists.
All right.
And answer these things. What you got?
We are fully capable of rational and critical thought.
True.
Yet we are only rewarded for blind faith and obedience.
Okay, now that's what he is saying, why he rejects Christianity.
And I kind of laugh at that because we've talked about that at length at some particular time. So,
well, we say this is where faith and reason meet. We do not accept the statement that blind faith is rewarded. We just say that's not the case at all.
Right, and here's the thing is that many people see that some Christians do actually throw out their brain.
Yes.
And that's not what God wants us to do. God gave us a brain. We need to use it.
That is correct.
Exactly.
I mean, if we weren't to use it, he wouldn't have given it to us. We would be automated robots and
automatons.
That would be good enough.
Right. But God gave us brains. God is the one who designed wisdom in the Christian worldview. So to say that Christians don't want to use their mind or their brains is completely ridiculous. That's simply not true. Any atheist or any Christian who says that is wrong.
Right. Dead wrong. I totally agree.
The phrase blind faith is just not in the Bible.
Right.
It's just not.
The concept of blind faith isn't in the Bible.
No. I mean, it says that we walk by faith, not by sight, but that's not saying there's no evidence. What that's saying is, hey, when I know that God is real and I know God has called me to something, then I step out and I do it.
Amen.
Like when Peter was on the lake on a boat and he saw Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. He had seen the miracles. He had knew that Jesus was the Christ who could call him out to walk on water.
Right.
And then Jesus said, walk on water, Peter.
And he was fully educated when he decided to do that.
That's right. He had never seen himself walk on water before, but he stepped out in faith and did it. That's what the Bible means when it talks about faith, not sight.
Right.
And that's what we're interested in. We're interested in that type of faith, not sight. We're not interested in blind faith. There is no evidence. Just believe it. If you believe without a rational reason to believe, you're going to end up giving some really dumb answers. So why do you believe? My grandpa always believed, and I believe I just do.
What you just said, everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
And that's crazy because, you know, that's the way I was for the longest time.
Oh, really?
Now, I'll admit it. I mean, I was a Christian because my grandfather was a Christian. My father and mother were Christians. And that's just the way I lived my life for many years. And there comes a point where it's like, whoa. Probably better put that down and find out exactly what it is I truly believe.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the next part that he's talking about.
All right. Historical evidence for Jesus outside the Bible is largely thought to be forgeries or too ambiguous.
Okay.
What?
Well, why don't you explain what he's essentially trying to say?
What he's saying is basically the fact that maybe Jesus ever walked the earth is in doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the simple truth to that is it's not true. Okay.
Right.
Historically, we can know very, very much about Jesus Christ. There are plenty of sources outside the Bible. I'm going to give a few of them here in just a second.
Right.
But even aside from these sources, the Bible is a historic document that must be given some credit.
Right.
To simply discount the Bible as though it doesn't have anything to offer is the epitome of ignorance.
Right. Right. I mean, because there are documents. It's like the Constitution itself. I mean, the Constitution itself stands on its own, does it not?
Yeah, you're saying the United States Constitution.
Yeah, the United States Constitution stands on its own. There's really no,
what do you mean by that, though?
We have a Constitution written, and it, of course, has addendums and stuff like that to actually expand on it, but we don't need any other outside documents to say exactly what it is our Constitution says. You know? Same as the Bible. The Bible does not need any other outside resources, although it does have outside resources that point to it as being true.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Here, you know, and I agree in a sense about the truthfulness. Like, we can read the Bible and say, okay, the Bible has said that murdering someone's bad. Like, we don't need an outside source to know that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
We may need an outside source to know that if you wrote a book about a guy named Tom, I may need an outside resource to know that Tom actually existed and you weren't just making it up.
Right.
And so I think that's what they're saying is, well, this talks about Jesus, but we need an outside resource to know that Jesus actually existed.
Right.
And what I'm coming at and saying is, we have outside resources, but that's not even fully needed because the way the Bible's written, it was not written by a guy who just sat down and decided to make up a story. It was written by multiple people over hundreds of years or thousands of years, 66 different books, over 40 different authors. They all follow the same theme. Even when we're talking about Jesus alone, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Apostle Paul, and then you have some other guys like Peter writing about the existence of Jesus. You have multiple people, half a dozen or more people talking about the existence of Jesus Christ. And all of these people gave up their life because they were saying Jesus lived and rose from the dead. And they say, if you say that, we're going to kill you. And they gave up their life to prove it. Now, if you told me that Tom existed and I said, I don't believe you, that's one thing. But if you said Tom existed and I put a gun to your head and I said, I'm going to pull the trigger if you don't admit the truth, and you still said Tom existed, I might believe you.
Right. And here's the thing is, like, you know, if I would say Tom existed and it was just me saying Tom existed and you put a gun to my head and said, if you don't renounce that Tom exists, then I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And I say, well, Tom exists. I might be crazy. But then you can't claim crazy over all the other apostles that actually claim that Jesus exists.
Right, and over the 500 other witnesses that saw Jesus as well. And so you can't claim sanity or mass delusion or that they're all liars, that hundreds of people are liars.
Right.
So you can't do that. Now, to some of the ancient evidence that shows that the Bible is actually a valuable source of information. You have the Augustine taxes and the census. In Luke chapter 2, it says that there was a census that was taken of the entire Roman world about the time of Jesus' birth. And that was issued by Caesar Augustus. And it took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Now, some people say, well, this couldn't have happened. But we have this Latin inscription called the Titus Venitus. It indicates that a census did take place in Syria about AD 5 and 6. and that it was typical of those held throughout the Roman Empire from the time of Augustus, which was 23 BC, mm-hmm. until the 3rd century. And so, given the date that most scholars agree upon for Jesus' birth, which is 2 or 3 BC, we see that the date of Jesus' birth does match that of a known census. It's quite likely that Luke's meaning is that the censuses were taken throughout the empire at different times, and Augustus started the process. And so we see some historical verification there. We've learned from this Latin inscription that the book of Luke actually is right. Now, there's a lot more. There's some Egyptian papyrus and other stuff I'm not going to go into right now for time. But you also have a guy, Yohanan ben Halgalgal.
Who?
Yohanan ben Halgalgal. Okay. Actually, his last name's H-A apostrophe G-A-L-G-O-L. And so however you want to pronounce it, Halgalgal, Halgalgal.
There, I think there's many Gauls in there.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
He was a victim of crucifixion that they found. His body dates back to AD 70, and it shows a 7-inch nail was driven through both of his feet. His feet had been turned outwards so that a square nail could be hammered through the heel just inside the Achilles tendon. Additionally, Geisler writes, we know that his lower arms have been pierced with nails and that his legs have been crushed by a blow, fitting the description of John 19 given in the New Testament. And so, and I'm not going to read all this study, but it goes through and shows, man, the wounds that the Bible talks about during the crucifixion of Jesus shows.
Yeah, actually happens.
It's just like the Bible described. Mm-hmm. Then you get to other writings that are not Christian writings at all. You have Tacitus, a first century historian. He talked about Jesus. You have a guy named Suetonius, who was a Roman historian from AD 117. He talks about Jesus and Christians. You have Thallus, who was a historian who wrote about AD 52. Like, that's really close to Jesus' death. And he wrote about it. And he actually, it's funny. He actually talks about darkness covering the land during Jesus' crucifixion.
What?
And this is a non-Christian historian.
I mean, corroborating what the Bible says?
Yeah. I mean, you have Pliny the Younger, this government official. Okay, enough of this. But you get the point, right? So this critic has said that there is no outside evidence.
Right. And specifically the fact they never found Jesus' body, so he must not have existed.
Someone actually said that to you?
Yeah. That was actually maybe a week ago.
Let's be clear on this. He rose from the dead, okay? You're not going to find a body.
Right. I know. That's
Are you serious? You know. Did they really say that?
People will stick to things, whatever, you know, whatever they can find.
They never found Jesus' body.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, no. Oh, Christianity's in trouble now.
Right.
No. Okay. So, hey, you know what, Dave? It's time for a Bible contradiction. All right.
Contradiction. All right, Bible Contradiction today brought to you by the fine folks over at answering-christianity.com.
Okay.
Huh, Jesus saw a man sitting at a tax collector's office and called him to be his disciple. What was his name? Matthew 9:9 says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, Matthew. He told him. So Matthew got him to go follow him. Wait a minute.
What?
Mark 2:14. Said that, and also Luke 5:27 says what? That the man's name was Levi, sitting at a tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and followed him. Dude.
Where was this Bible contradiction from?
This,
do you remember?
Answering-christianity.com.
Did you already say that?
Yeah.
I'm just out of it today.
It's okay. They have over 100, proven Bible contradictions.
No, they don't. All right. This one isn't even a very good one.
Well, tell me why.
Matthew and Levi are the same person.
Oh, come on. You're just reaching.
No. It's the same guy. If you go through and read the story, it's clearly the same event. Mm-hmm. So we can't just say it was two different events. This is just the same guy. I mean, church people have always known this. It's like in the Bible, you have Peter. But Peter's other name was Simon.
Right.
You have Saul. Saul's other name was Paul. Mm-hmm. Here you have Matthew. Matthew's other name was Levi. This isn't a contradiction. They have two names.
Right.
Sometimes their name changed when they converted to follow Jesus.
So what you're saying is we need to look at those others and make sure they're not contradicting either.
Yes. Yes, that's right. So Matthew was one of his names. Levi was the other one. Real simple. Okay, let's invite people out to Revolution Church again.
Yeah, come on out.
Let's also encourage people to donate to Truth Revolution.
Please do.
And let's encourage them to go to the website.
Right, truthrevolution.tv. That's where you need to go, and you get to everything else from there.
And if you want the church information, you can go to revo.church, R-E-V-O.church. That's online as well.
Right,
so
on.
Truthrevolution.tv. Will be right back.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know, God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
What is the tribulation or suffering of Christians during the end times?
Well, Revelation 13:5 says, "The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months.
So we're looking for a period of time in the future when Christians will be attacked by the beast for 42 months.
Well, maybe not.
But that's what the Bible said.
It did say the beast would attack for 42 months, but it didn't say the future.
What?
Nero, who matches biblical descriptions of the beast, also persecuted Christians with awful and disgusting punishments.
Yeah, but the Bible says it will be 42 months worth of persecution.
Yeah. Nero's persecution lasted from November AD 64 until June AD 68.
Let me do the math.
Yeah?
Wow, that's exactly 42 months.
I love it when the numbers work. Nero fits the description.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same. To be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back. We're talking about, why is it that Christianity
we're
is...
talking about, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about stuff, you know. What's up?
Why is Christianity so not true? Why is it so dumb?
It's dumb?
Maybe. Maybe not.
All right.
I'm going to go with definitely not.
Okay. Let's get to the next objection. Okay. He's talking about evangelical Christians, which we would consider ourselves evangelical Christians.
Evangelical Christians give huge amounts of money to the church and are the poorest and least educated of all the major denominations. So much for the prosperity gospel.
Okay. Now, he links to something here about the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. And a couple things here. He says that evangelical Christians are the poorest and least educated of all major denominations.
I feel insulted.
The study he quotes, now, I'm going to get to whether or not this is true, it doesn't even matter, but the study he quotes is not talking about evangelical Christians. I don't think it's talking about Pentecostal Christians who believe in a so-called prosperity gospel. Not all Pentecostals do, but some of them do. And so he's not even citing its source correctly, but this prosperity gospel that says, hey, if you follow God, you're going to be rich and healthy and wealthy.
Right.
We don't believe that crud.
Well, the Bible never even says that. The Bible says, hey, if you give, and it, you know, I will take care of you. You know, basically, you got to live the way Jesus says to live. I mean, because it's like helping each other out, for one. you know, and not worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, there's a difference between God providing you food and God giving you a private jet.
Right. Amen.
God never promises a private jet.
Right. The Bible also tells us to live simply.
It does.
You know, and a private jet, I'm sorry, is not simple living.
And anyone who says that God's interested in our worldly wealth hasn't studied the life of Jesus.
Amen.
He was poor. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't even own a home. I mean, Jesus was poor. He called fishermen and disciples who owned businesses but left it all. People who are wealthy are warned in the Bible that they are in danger. Jesus says it's easier for a rich man. No, it's easier for a camel. Go ahead.
It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, that is right. I mean, it is not, there's no reason to think that in the New Testament there are benefits to being wealthy. In the book of James, chapter 5, it says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the miseries that's coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Mm-hmm. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you." Right. I mean, does that sound like the Bible is about the prosperity gospel?
No. Let's be completely honest here. The Bible's not saying, oh, it's bad to have money. It all depends on where your heart is.
Right.
And what are you doing with that? What are you doing, period? And not only that, it talks about when our wealth rusts and decays away, it's saying those of you who are concentrating too much on your money, that's going to make you very, very sad. You know, if you have a lot of money but are concentrating on the kingdom of God, the corrosion and withering of your money is not going to make you sad. It's going to make you happy because it's going to be replaced by other things.
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's go to the next one.
Okay. The next one says, if we are all loved equally by God, why was Thomas and Paul given much more evidence than me?
I love my children equally, but the other day I gave one of them an extra cookie.
No.
And the others did not. So. The others didn't get it.
Did they find out?
No. I wasn't going to tell them. I was like, hey, yo, here's an extra cookie. Shh.
Right.
Like, it doesn't. Equality in what you get is not the same as equality in the love God has for you. God gives you what you need to follow him and learn to love him, not what you want for worldly wealth.
Right. And I would actually refute that by saying God is going to bless us even more than he blessed Thomas, because Jesus said, you have seen and you believe, but blessed are those
who have not seen.
Who have not seen and believe. So I'd say that we're actually in the favor.
Okay, I see what you're saying there, and that's good. That's good. But you know, this interesting thing about why were they given more evidence? You're implying that they were given enough evidence and you weren't, but that's not the case. We all have sufficient evidence to believe in God.
Right.
And so if Jesus appeared physically to Thomas and he appeared physically to Paul, but he did not to me, that still means that that does not mean that I do not now have a responsibility to respond to the evidence I have.
Right.
The evidence you have is what you're responsible to respond to. And we all have enough evidence simply by looking at creation. Where did this universe come from? Why is it designed so well for life? And all these other questions. Yeah. And we have to look at the statistics, the prophecy that showed Jesus rose from the dead. And we have to come to the conclusion, this is real. You know, I was meeting with a guy one time and I showed him all the evidence. He was not a believer. I showed him all the evidence I had. Like, we met for a year, and at the end of the year, he still wasn't a believer. And I said, man, I've given you everything. Like, what else do you want? And you know what he says? Oh. He sits back and he says, you know what? You're right. I can't refute the evidence. Jesus really did rise from the dead and really is the Son of God, but I don't want to change the way I'm living.
Bingo.
He put it right there.
And you know what? By and large, a lot of people that do actually go out and study and try and find out the truth will come to that conclusion. If they don't want to change their life, they're not going to change their life.
Absolutely true.
I did that for years. I didn't want to change the way I was living. I was having too much fun.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Dave, let's answer a listener question.
All right. I got a question.
All right, listener question comes from Laron.
Laron, okay. Mm-hmm.
Says, God said, let there be light in Genesis 1:1. Then he created the sun, moon, and stars in 1:13. Explain the difference. This seems like a contradiction.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. And we've had Dr. Hugh Ross on here as a guest multiple times. Dr. Hugh Ross is brilliant, from Reasons to Believe. Go to reasons.org. But the way he has described this, it makes perfect sense. Genesis 1:1 is a grand scheme statement. But starting in Genesis 1:2, the viewpoint is now from the surface of the earth, as if someone were standing on the earth and watching all this take place.
Right.
So you have, in the beginning, this is verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
Right? So right there, God created heavens, he created the earth. And a lot of people look at that and they kind of skim over that and they're like, well, I know that there was light early on, but the Bible doesn't describe the sun coming into existence until later on in verse 13. Well, no. God is saying right there in verse 1, I created the heavens. I created right there. Boom. It's done. Okay. The heavens and the earth created. Now we're going to stand on the earth and take it from that perspective. And you don't even see, because of the atmosphere, because of the thickness of the atmosphere and other factors, you cannot see the sun clearly until you get to verse 13.
Right.
And so the sun is there all along, which resolves a lot of problems for young earthers. I want to quote Genesis 1:2-5. Would you read that, Dave?
Okay.
We read in verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Right. And then we read this happens next from you're standing on the earth watching this happen.
Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning.
All right, so you get light starting to pour into the earth. It's not that there was not a sun or couldn't have been a sun, but it starts to pour into the earth. This is a quote from an article on reasons.org. We can link to this if you go to truthrevolution.tv. Mm-hmm. Listen to how they explain this.
The claim there was light on earth before the sun was created is another artifact of the young earth model. The Bible states on the first creation day, God said, let there be light, Genesis 1:3, because the young earth model places the creation of the sun on the fourth day. Young earth creationists insist that light came from a different source, meaning attributed to God's radiance. And this is an unnecessary and strained interpretation. The text indicates that the light God caused to appear on the first day was illumination from the sun in the daytime. This fact is specifically stated in Genesis 1:5.
All right, there we go. That's what we just read, right? So that sun is created. And you could even say the sun was created. This is like they heated there on verse 5. And that's when it starts pouring in. But see, you get the verse 1. Hey, the heavens and the earth have been created.
Right.
That's a summary statement. And then you get into the creation after that. So, you know, that's pretty easy. There's not a contradiction there. Unless you're reading it from a young earth model, and then you have to describe the sunlight being something like the glory of God shining down rather than an actual sun. So that's the answer for our listener question.
Okay. I got a question.
All right, Dave, let's get to the next point of his objectiones.
All right, the next point is many of the sins in the Bible are arbitrary and lack any founding in reason. What?
What? Do not murder. Yeah, that's stupid. No, okay, I'm sorry. I was being snarky. Okay, he needs our cracked acronym. Our cracked acronym, the E stands for early meaning manuscripts. The K stands for knit together. You have to understand how the Bible's woven together. If you go to the Old Testament, you hear laws like don't plant corn with beans in the same field. So you can be like, well, that's arbitrary and stupid. But if you know what it means and how that is knit together with stuff in the New Testament about you don't combine holy with unholy things, you start to realize God was building a grand theme throughout the narrative of human history. Mm-hmm. And so you start to see why these laws existed, and they don't seem so arbitrary anymore. They seem like types and shadows.
Right. There is a lot of foreshadowing of the Christ type in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And specifically speaking about the coming of Christ and things to come.
Like, all right, let's get to the last bullet point before we only got 60 seconds left.
The idea of hell and an infinite punishment for finite crime make very little sense when sinners could just be annihilated.
Okay. Go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and type in hell. Yeah. The basic thing is, we don't go to hell merely because we've sinned. We also go to hell because we reject God.
Right, it's a choice.
We don't want to be in the presence of God. You can sin and still go to heaven if you ask God to forgive you.
Right.
It's not our sin merely that sends us to hell. It is the rejection of being around God.
Right. I'm a sinner. Jeff's a sinner.
Yeah.
I know he is. I've seen him do it the other
darn
day.
Darn tootin', I'm a Got sinner. Him. Yeah, so.
I see dead people.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening today. Go to truthrevolution.tv. Consider donating. You guys make this show work.
Amen.
Come on out to Revolution Church. We'd love to have you, no matter what you look, smell, feel like.
There you go. Sundays at 9 and 11.
That's right. And get out to truthrevolution.tv or revo.church. You can find directions to Revolution Church or even watch online.